I appreciate the prayer that was offered and would ask that you would continue to pray not only for me but for yourselves. And as we begin a new year, and we certainly need one another's prayers, I certainly need your prayers. I want to thank the church for your prayers of the past and for your love in the past and for the blessing that's been to me to try to serve the church. You know, many years ago, I spent a great number of years out of the church. Attended other churches, didn't attend church at all for a long time. And when certain occurrences happened in my life, I made a promise to God. And, you know, be careful what you promise God, because if you don't keep it, things can turn in the other direction. You know, I promised him I'd do the best I could to serve him for as long as I live upon the earth. And regardless of the circumstances that come along in my life or whatever happens to the church, I'm going to do that to the best of my ability. At the end of the day, we have nothing in this life except the Lord Jesus Christ and our family. That's really, the rest of this is all temporal. It's unnecessary. Even though the Lord has blessed us to enjoy it, really, we're to have our family, but most of all, the Lord first. The Bible teaches us beyond all shadow of doubt that we're never to put anything in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to put our family in it. Some people have trouble with that, but the Bible is very explicit on that teaching. It's not what Brother Kenny thinks, it's what the Lord says. Thus saith the Lord. In other words, God should have preeminence in your life, over your work, over your children, over your grandparents, over the best friends you have. That's where the Lord says our attention and our focus should be in life. And it is my prayer that we would do that. I've failed to do that oftentimes in my life, even in the present. And, you know, as we begin a new year, we oftentimes make New Year's resolutions, you know. And you know how those New Year's resolutions generally go. We make a lot of resolutions, and after a little bit of time, many of them just wane, if you would. We just, for one reason or the other, we just give it up, throw in the towel. But even if we make a New Year's resolution and we continue therein and fulfill that resolution, you come to find out that maintaining that is just as difficult as getting there. We all know that if you go on a diet and try to lose weight. I mean, it's just as hard to maintain the loss as it was to get there. Matter of fact, maybe harder. If we make a point in life that we want to change our lives, we want to study God's word, we want it to make a difference in our life, sometimes we'll start out and we'll begin to study. I encourage you. I just think that God's people lack a real conscious effort day in and day out to read some of God's word. It's not about reading the entire Bible in a year. I've done that. You might get something out of that. But have you taken a few scriptures and meditated upon the scriptures, read them? Maybe read them today. Read them tomorrow, two or three, and try to understand. Take a Strong's concordance and understand the words and what difference it would make in your lives. You know, God's people became hardened in their hearts. Life became a struggle. Many of them have a struggle today. They're stressed out by the life in which we live and the troubles in which we encounter or whatever's going on. It's just difficult. And sometimes it's a struggle to even pray or to come to the house of the Lord. How many of us struggle with anything like that? I know that I have. For many years I struggled that way. And it doesn't mean that when you make a promise to God that you're going to get up feeling good about it every day. But a promise is a promise. When Jesus walked down that lonely path to the cross of Calvary, do you think he felt good about it? Do you think he just thought, well, this is the best day of my life? In one sense it was, because he knew that all from whom he died for would one day live with him in heaven. From that sense, it was the greatest day. But friends, it was the greatest day that you and I have ever known of. He went to the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood. He took your sins and my sins upon himself. They were nailed to the cross of Calvary. And because of what he did, one day, all these struggles that we have or that we go through and encounter in life will be no more. Time will end and the struggles will end. Change will end because time ends. But as we enter into a new year, it leaves the ideas of new beginnings. I sometimes wonder, I've heard it said that, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But the question is, do I really believe what Jesus said? Do we really want our lives to, if we're having a problem, do we want a difference to be made in our lives? Do we believe? Do we really believe? Jesus said, you know, if thou canst believe us, all things are possible to him that believes. That means if you really can, that tells me that we have a real problem of believing what Jesus said. I don't think there's an individual sitting in this congregation or any other congregation that wouldn't like to see some improvements in their life, wouldn't like to see something better in their life. I believe that would embrace every one of us. And probably outside of this congregation, people are not looking for bad days. They're not looking for bad things. They're looking for a life that is more fulfilling and for things to be better, are we not? I believe we are. And I believe the Word of God gives us that. You know, we get so entangled up. I think of that verse over there, and I'll read a little of it in 2 Corinthians, and it says, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, we're all perishing. From the day we're born until the day we die, we're perishing. And I have come to notice in my life that, as I told Sister April, we was talking this morning, the desires of our life tend to perish as we perish. I believe most of you can attain to the fact that when you were 20 years old or 15 years old or a young child, you had far more desires of this world than you do when you're 60 or 70 or 80 or 90. Those desires tend to perish as you and I perish. But he goes on to say, while we look not at the things which are seen. Now, if we want a better life, I believe it begins with this verse. Do you want a more fulfilling life? Do you really believe that God can make things better for you, for our church, for our country? Do we really believe it? I mean, unbelief has been a real problem. You know, the man whose son was thrown in the fire in Mark chapter 9, I quoted that verse. He said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Unbelief is an ongoing problem. You know, we believe that Jesus was the Christ, God manifest in the flesh, but do we really believe what he said about you and I? Do we really believe that if we follow his commandments and keep his instructions, that we will have a better life? Do we really believe that it's important to worship him every day of our life through prayer? Do we really believe it's important to attend church on a regular basis? I ask you that because in America, there's a survey been taken that only 80% of Christians, they attend church once a month. You know, I knew a man, and you knew him too, that nothing got in his way, and that's Brother George. I'm going to tell you right now, I've known three or four men in my life, and I'm not one of them, that he allowed nothing to hinder his service under the Lord Jesus Christ to the best of his ability, not his health, not his family, not his pleasures. That tells me something about that man. It tells me how much he loved the Lord. You know, what we do is an example and a vindication of how much we love the Lord. You know, I think we all love the Lord, but some of us love the Lord more than others. And it ought not to be that way. But I've known others that are not primitive Baptists, but I'm not one of them. I don't even claim to be in that group. But I knew that man well enough to know that there was nothing in his life come before the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ had the preeminence in his life over family. Sister Jamie can tell you over her and everybody else. Jesus Christ came first. How important is it for us to have that outlook in our lives? You know, I said something a couple of Sundays ago. What makes good meetings? Brother Don was here preaching last Sunday. Brother Don Watson. He said, we just have three or four people in church. But, I'm assured that we still have good meetings. And I said, what makes a good meeting? A good meeting, whether it's a few or a lot, is by participation. And that begins with praying. I ask you today, how much prayer do we offer the prior week, honestly? And I don't want to show of hands. How many times do you pray for the coming Sunday and for the message and for those that are coming to church? How often do we pray? You know, there's room for growth in my life, I'll assure you. And we're in the first Sunday of a new year. Isn't it amazing that 2018, that we can close the book on it and we begin a new year? We see a country that's deteriorating. You know, I don't think most Christians understand what's happened, in my opinion, in the United States of America and what is happening. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and that was Brother Don's message last week, that we need to fall into a state of humility before we pray. That's the first thing. Humble ourselves and pray. Seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. And I will forgive your sin and heal your land. What Christians don't understand is throughout the ages, when a country imploded or God's judgment rained down upon a country, it wasn't because of the wicked. It's because God's people over the course of time become likened unto those who have nothing to do with the Lord. That's a hard thing for us, you and I, to discern. It's a hard thing to swallow. You know, everybody wants to follow the crowd. Everybody wants to do what everybody else is doing. We do that by nature from the time we're little kids, and many of us when we're grown up. We fall into those things. But I tell you, if we want to make a difference in our lives, we need to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look at him. It says here, while we look not at things which are seen. I tell you what, there's Christians all over the United States that are looking at things that are seen for deliverance. Deliverance from the workplace. Deliverance from bad relationships. They're looking for counselors. And the great counselor that we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in heaven. While we look not at things that are seen. The Bible tells us that there is no deliverance in the things that we see with the naked eye. And yet so often that's where we're hunting for deliverance. That's where we're seeking deliverance. He says, but at the things which are not seen. Notice what it says. For the things which are seen are temporal. Everything you and I see with the naked eye is something that's going to pass away shortly. It's passing away. Our outward man perisheth. And I'll assure you, I can testify to you today that as people get older, not everyone's exactly the same, but the desires of 99% of people as they grow older are far less than they were when they were 20. Those desires have a tendency to perish, even with our body perishing, because we long for a home that's not upon the earth, a home that is in heaven. He goes on to say, but that we should look upon things which are eternal. Things which are not seen are eternal. That's where our hope is in this life and certainly in the life to come. So as we begin a new year, I want to encourage you to read the Bible. I don't care if you don't read but one verse a day. Read it 3 or 4 times. Slow down when you read it. Read between it'll have commas and colons and stop there and read. Try to understand what the Lord says to you in that verse. You know, all the things that were written for our profit. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. It's not only profitable for me to preach to you, it's profitable for you to read and to be a part of your daily life. I'm going to take the rest of what I speak upon this morning out of Proverbs chapter 3. There's an interesting thing in Proverbs. It's a lot of teachings about life, but I really love the way that many of the first 7 chapters are introduced. Even though we're going to stay in chapter 3 most of the time and look at a few verses this morning, we're going to find that chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, my son, forget not my law. What's he talking about there? He's not only talking about the law of Moses, he's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, forget it not. Well, we got to know it to forget it, right? If we don't know it, we don't understand it, we don't read it, we don't hear it preached, it's hard for us to know. God did not put it in our minds that we know it. Now, we know that Jesus Christ is our Savior, but we can stay in a situation where the Bible calls spiritual infancy, as babes, newborn babes needing milk. Matter of fact, you can go to Hebrews chapter 5 and you'll find a group of folks that were in the church for over 30 years and they had learned nothing. They had learned nothing. They needed to be taught the oracles of God again. They had become dull of hearing. They'd been caught up with themselves. You see, oftentimes in life, we talked about Jesus Christ and our family, but there are things that interfere with us putting Jesus Christ first. A lot of times it's ourself. Itself. Jesus Christ should have the preeminence. I mean, he bore our sins. He was crucified. He suffered as no other man has ever suffered. I mean, we need to buy into that. We need to understand that he suffered something that you and I should have suffered throughout eternity. If we really own that truth, it'll make a difference in our lives. I believe it. Do we really own it? Do we own it in our life? Do we know it? In several of these chapter two, again, my son, we find in chapter four, hear ye the children, the instruction of a father. We notice in chapter five, it begins with my son. It begins with my son in chapter six. I'm going to tell you, it begins with my son. First verse of chapter seven. We see that God is speaking to us as his children. There's something that as a father who is concerned. I hope when you raised your children, you had the same mindset toward them. My son, I'm teaching you something. I'm trying to give you lessons because it's good for you in life. It's beneficial. It's profitable. It will help you in your journey here upon the earth. We struggle so often in life. We allow many things to interfere with us. And our minds get caught up in the things of this world, the things that are temporal. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. He says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. In other words, don't just read them once in a while. Don't just hear them preached once in a while. Make them a part of your life. Let them fill your heart. You know, when you go out in life and you encounter someone, whether it's in the workplace, in another church, in this church, in your own family, the more of God's word we have filling us and the more of it that we remember, the more likely it is that we'll deal with the situation or the circumstances the way the Lord Jesus Christ did. Now, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we're not going to get in that state overnight, but we ought to strive to be like the Lord, to treat people the way the Lord would have. You know, we live in a time and a society today that you almost would almost believe that old law was still in order, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You look out across the all the things that are going on, all the social avenues to talk to one another, and the anger in this country and the madness and the hatred, it's almost as though we're living under an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But that was never the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, was it? Paul told us in Romans chapter 12 that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We're to recompense to no man evil for evil. And it's so easy to do. We need our minds filled with the Word of God. Our hearts filled with the Word of God. Do you want to get through life? Notice what he says. But let thine heart keep my commandments. You know, we're told in 1 John chapter 5. If we love the Lord, we will keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Isn't that amazing? No matter how many times we break the Lord's commandments, the Apostle John said they're not grievous. They're not something beyond our ability to keep. Now, we justify what we do. We make excuses for what we do. But John said there is no excuse and there's no justification. That the commandments of God are not grievous. It's not impossible for us to keep them. Now, we're sinners. And none of us are going to become sinless in this life. But that's not a reason to continue therein. The Bible says we can. I believe it's by flooding our mind and our souls with the Word of God. Little by little. You know, Peter said over in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. He says you know these things. You need to apply them in your heart. They need to resonate in your heart and in your mind and become a part of us. That's how we become like Jesus Christ. That's how we treat people the way Jesus Christ would have treated them. That's how we become not angry and get filled with wrath. And many other things when we fill our minds and our hearts with the words of God. It helps us to overcome the sinful things, because there is a warfare going on within the child of God that will be there until the day he dies. He says, if we live in the flesh, let us also walk in the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do what you could. In other words, if you're falling after the flesh, you can never please the spirit. And it takes a conscious effort not to walk after the flesh. Matter of fact, the wide gate and the broad way where the flesh is leading the direction there, it's an easy place to walk in this life. It's an easy place to go. But to fill your minds with the Word of God and to hear the Word of God preached, to make and to believe it'll really make a difference in your life. I just wonder how much we really believe that it'll make that kind of difference in our lives. He goes on and he says in verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now, someone might say, well, I don't want to live a long life. But the Lord said it's a blessing to live a long life. And he says when you fill yourselves, your minds and your hearts with his word, when you honor him with your presence in the sanctuary every Sunday, he says you'll have long days, length of days, and peace. The reason most of us don't want to live a long life, if you fall into that category, or at times you fall into that category, is because we're not at peace. We're not at peace with ourselves. We're not at peace with the Lord. The peace of God is not ruling our hearts. Paul called upon us in the Colossian letter to let the peace of God rule your heart. And Jesus tells us in the 14th chapter, and let's read that of John, the peace that he gives us is not something that comes from the world. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, in the 27th verse, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. If you want peace in a life that's full of disorder, and a world that's full of disorder, it can only come by the way of God. You can attempt it day in and day out. You can attempt it by trying to achieve peace in the workplace, in the home, but God's got to be at the center and got to be at the focus. Because the peace that God gives you will help you to deal with all the difficulties and all the noise and all the troubles that we encounter in life. And there's plenty of them out there. You know, if you look at what's going on in the world today, sometimes I hear people saying, I just wish the world would come to an end. And it may come to an end tomorrow. If it does, thanks be to the Lord. But the Lord says that we can live in these kind of difficulties if we're letting the peace of God rule our hearts. Letting the peace of God. And it begins by not forgetting his law. Over in Psalms 1, it talks about a man who is blessed. He delights in the law of the Lord, and he meditates upon it day and night. In other words, he reads enough of God's word, he hears the word of God preached enough that it's always consciously on his mind, in his thoughts. When he encounters these situations and circumstances in life, he knows how to act because he knows how the Lord would have acted. He knows that we're to follow in the steps. You know, it tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. But we can't follow any steps if we don't read and understand and learn of the example of Jesus Christ. You know, it is my prayer that in this coming year, that when Sunday comes, when the day of the Lord comes, that I'll put everything in this world aside. That is my new goal for this year. The talking about all the worldly things that goes on, and I'm as guilty of that as anybody. And to dwell upon the Lord, to meditate upon the Lord from the prayer at my house and my home and until I reach here, to make it the Lord's day and not my day. You know, we've all bought into that to somewhat from when we were kids. When there wasn't a lot going on out there, things going on today on the Lord's day are far more than they were 40 years ago. What I'm telling you is we need to have more focus upon the Lord. And let's take that day and let's focus upon it. Begin with prayer. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. I don't believe there's an individual in the setting here that would not like to have a life of peace. Peace is one of the greatest and most valuable things that you and I can ever attain. A peace of mind. A peace knowing that God is in control. That regardless of how much noise is going on, how difficult our life may be, how many circumstances we fail to see past in a manner that we would have liked, challenges that come up before us. Every one of us have those. When God's peace rules your life, you don't get all bent out of shape, if you would, over it. It allows us to go through life with all this noise and not be like others. But I'm guilty of getting caught up in life, just as many others are. And it takes a conscious effort. We need to pray. We need to meditate. We need to read God's word more and to be closer in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on, and I love verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. You know, we live in a country today where people have thrown mercy out the window. You know, it's hard to be merciful unto someone. But you know, we were saved for nothing more than the account of mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, we had no spiritual life about us, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he hath saved us. It's not according to you attending church here or making the right decision or walking in the right path. God was merciful to us, because if it had been left up to us, none of us would have got there. But it tells us in the Beatitudes that we're to, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We need to be more merciful and more compassionate to folks. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. That verse tells me that those things can forsake us. You know, we sit here on Sunday morning, we read the Bible, we hear the word of God preached, and Lord, bless us to hear it, I hope. Lord, bless me to preach it. I hope it makes a difference in our lives. I hope we go home next week and say, you know, I'm going to make a change. You know, I spent 20 years going to make that change every day and didn't. Oh, how easy it is to put it aside. But I believe these verses are going to tell us that the word of God can absolutely, by all means, make a difference in my life and in your life and every child of God. God didn't put these words in here just to fulfill his book. They are profitable. They are beneficial to each and every one of us. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. You know, we're told that the mercies of our God in Lamentations chapter 3 are new every morning, and that his compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. Friends, we need to be faithful unto the Lord. We need to be merciful unto each other. God was merciful to us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Notice what it goes on to say. Bind them around thy neck. That tells me that you ought to have them around you every day. Bind them around thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. If we don't think the word of God will make a difference in our life, then why did Solomon in his writings say that we were to write them upon the table of our heart and bind them around our neck? Do we really believe? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, sometimes it may be that we'll try this for a week or two. I made a mention this morning of what happens to most New Year's resolutions. We start out and we do really good for a little short time, and then they wane. That's how mine have been most of my life. And I have found out too that if I ever fulfilled one, it becomes even more and more difficult to maintain it. And that goes along with everything. It's not just eating a good diet or trying to lose weight. It's reading the Bible. It's praying. It's putting your wife first, your husband first, doing all the things that God has taught us to do to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Nothing more important for our children. We're all concerned about how much education we need to give them, but no education will they ever receive that amounts to what we teach them from the Word of God. And if we don't, the world will teach them. And we see that going on. We see that in a young generation today. We see lots of changes taking place, because if we don't educate them, the world will. And they're out there doing it day in and day out. And we see a lot of different mindsets among young people than we used to see, especially when it comes to God, when it comes to serving the Lord, when it comes to entering into his house, to reading his word. This is important. I believe the word of God can have a vast difference on our life, can make a vast difference in our lives. I want you to believe it. It's not just something I'm here talking about. It's a powerful thing that can be brought into our lives, and it can make a difference. You know, we're all going to have troubles. We're all going to have challenges. We're all going to have disappointments. But we can get through those a lot easier if our minds and our hearts are filled with the Word of God. Write them up on the table of thine heart. Bind them about thy neck. That just tells me that truth is important. You know, Jesus, these verses are addressed to my son. I mean, it's to my son, and it's teaching us that God is intimate toward his people, his children. He didn't just write this because he wanted to bring trouble into your life. He wants good for you. For the Lord loveth you and chastens you because he loves you. He gives us good things because he loves us. He blesses you with everything that you have because he loves you. The very breath of air you take when you wake up in the morning is because he loves you. Because he wants good for you. That's why he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not so they can go to heaven, because it is not God's will to chasten his children, to bring judgment, just as it wasn't with your own children. But there comes times in life that you do what's right for the child. If you're raising the child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, if you're training them up the way that God has taught us to train them up, it's one of the greatest acts of love we'll ever see. We need to fill our hearts and minds. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. He is life. You know, we look at things day in and day out with our natural eyes that are temporal. They're here today, and they're gone tomorrow. The Bible tells us we need to focus on that which is eternal. That's what the eye of faith gives us. It gives us a hope beyond the temporal things of this life that seem to always, at some point, disappoint us. They really do. But you know, God will never leave us nor forsake us. God is always there. He fills the entire universe. Sometimes we live our lives as though God doesn't exist. But friends, I'm telling you, he's right here, right now. He's in your presence every day where you are. The Bible tells us that there's no place upon this earth that you can hide from the Lord. He says, write them up on the table of thine heart. And he says truth is very important. We live in a time where truth is being shunned day in and day out. But you know, Jesus, when in the high priestly prayer in John 17, he prayed for you. He prayed for me. This is one of the most touching things. He said, I pray for them that thou hast given me. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Jesus prayed that you would be filled with his truth. Can you imagine God, who came down and walked among his people, kneeled down in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and prayed to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. How do we know what God's truth is if we don't attain to it? If we don't focus upon it? If it ain't a part of our being? Some of us live life like everything we got going on is all that matters. But it's like a vapor. It appears in just a little while. It's going to be gone. Sanctify them. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. He prayed for you. He prayed. I mean, isn't that touching to your heart that Jesus prayed for you? He prayed for every one of his children. He prayed for you. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Do you want to know the truth concerning Jesus Christ? Do you want to live in such a manner that honors Jesus Christ? Do you really want to have a good life that when things go wrong, when you lose someone you love, or when you have struggles at your business or your workplace, or your children do not live up to the standards that you'd hoped? You got one that never changes in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our hope now. He is our hope to come in life after, which won't be that long. He prayed for you. I just find that so touching. He prayed for every one of us. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, I spend a lot of my life, I knew a few things about his truth, and I'm still a far cry from knowing many others. I could read this book every day a little bit till the day I die, and I just barely graze what truth is in it. Because it's filled with truth from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to Revelation chapter 22, the last verse. All of God's word is truth, and it's all profitable, and it's all beneficial. If thou canst believe us, all things are possible to him that believe. Do you believe that the word of God can change your life? If you don't, it's because you're filled with unbelief. Because the word of God says we can. We're to bind his truth, his mercy around our necks. They're to be written upon the table of our hearts. That means that we're so familiar with those things because we're studying his word and reading them that they're always come to mind as we deal and go through the circumstances and the journey of this life. It's what I believe it means. Notice what it says. So thou, verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Isn't that an amazing thing? If you write the truth of God upon the table of your heart, if you bind mercy and truth around your neck, it says you will find favor and good understanding with God. Notice it puts God first and then man. What more could you and I want than to have favor in the sight of Almighty God? And he just gave us three verses that give us a good head start as to how to get there. Forget not my law. Forget not the gospel. I tell you, some people live life, you might be surprised, some of God's children, I believe, live life and never read 10 verses of the entire Bible their entire life. That ain't going to keep them out of heaven, but can you imagine the great benefits and the great blessings that they've missed out upon? In today's time, stress is a major problem. People are dealing with so many things they can't hardly handle life. But they're not letting the peace of God rule their hearts. It's a peace that the world cannot give you. Jesus said that, John 14 and 27. The world will tell you they can give you peace, but it'll not be lasting peace. The only thing that can bring peace into your life is Jesus Christ, day in and day out. You know, just put him first in the morning. Ask him to walk with you, to talk with you, to help you with your decisions, to help you with your acquaintances, to help you treat others as you'd have them to treat you. I tell you, Jesus hears your prayers. That's where it starts in our lives, by prayer and through the reading of the Word of God. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. You know, we always put an emphasis on reading God's Word. And I'm telling you, you don't have to go and try to read the whole Bible. I tell you, just pick out some verses that have some meaning to you and read them every day. Spend a little bit of time. Pray. If you'll read those verses, if you'll study them through the concordance and you will meditate and pray upon them, I believe the Lord will give you light. The Lord has promised to give us light if we continue in his word. What a blessing it'd be to have great change come upon our land, because that is the power, I believe, that's found in the word of God. And I'm going to close with these verses here in a moment, but notice what it says here. I believe this is the failure of many of us today. This is the failure of looking upon those things which are seen, which are temporal, and not those things which are unseen, which God tells us are eternal. Paul does, but it's through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. When you get through with those first four verses and you're filling your mind and your heart with God's word and God's mercy, I believe it will enable you to trust in the Lord like none other. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of whatever you may encounter as you journey here in life. You know, that's what faith really is. Are we living by faith? You know, Lot, he walked by sight. He didn't walk by faith. All he wanted was what he saw. But the Bible tells us that real faith is the substance of things hoped for. Nothing, in other words, we don't say the evidence of things not seen. There's the great evidence that God exists and you and I have never seen him with the naked eye. That's faith. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Trust that God will lead you. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall, not might, he shall direct thy steps. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought how many times your steps have not been directed in this life because you didn't acknowledge God in everything you do? From the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed, to the taking of a job, to the moving to a new town, When we are looking for things in life, there's no one better to help us than the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, I'm telling you, if we have the faith that we ought to have, we have to trust in the Lord. We so often want to know what lies ahead, and I'm just as guilty of that as the next person. We want to know what's down the road, and that way we can take a detour if we don't like what we see. But that's not trust. That's not true faith. We trust in the Lord to go the way the Lord would have us to go, and that He will direct our steps. He said He shall. If we truly trust Him with all our heart, with everything we have, and we try not to understand it, God has promised, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, to direct our steps. And I believe that's what every one of us want. I believe we want a life of peace, because the world has never been at peace. Not in this life. Not in my life. And the ones that's preceded me, there's always been turmoil, struggles, and strife. And that's all because of sin. And it will be that way till the Lord wraps up this great work. But you can live with a peace that many of God's children don't have. It begins by binding the Word of God around your neck and in your hearts. You know, not forgetting His commandments. That means we must maintain hearing the Word of God preached, reading His Word, and certainly most of all be prayerful day in and day out to the Lord. I believe that's one of the most important things. And if you want to really see change in your life, I believe that's where we begin. If you've got a New Year resolution you want to set out and do, put that as it. Like I said, it's easy to let those things slide. But I know there are people, and God's people in this world, that want to see change. Not only in themselves, in the churches, in the nation. We need to pray. We need to read God's Word. We need to make it a part. We need to own it, as the Word would say. We need to own it. May God bless us to trust Him in this coming year in a way that we've never trusted Him. To lay all our problems and all our troubles at His feet. Because we certainly don't understand why these things and other things befall us in life. They do. But we got one that'll never leave us nor forsake us. That boldly said, that tells us that we can boldly say the Lord is our helper in our time of need. That's who we need to look to today. I hope that's who we look to the whole coming year. It is my prayer that God will bless us this coming year. Bless our church. Bless each one of us to go forward. We don't know what the year holds. We don't know who will be here next year. But all we can do is put one foot in front of the other and continue to move forward, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May God bless you, my